WREF, ESPN 97.7, The Ref, and listen to TheRef.com present The Stan Gerard Show. The Stan Gerard Show is brought to you by Taroni's, Allstott Office City, Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance, Fulton Interior Systems. The Stan Gerard Show is also brought to you by Hoosier Home Improvement and Penn Station East Coast Subs. Now with the Stan Gerard Show is the voice of USI Screaming Eagles basketball, Brad Klein.
All right, it's the Stan Gerard Radio Show from Taroni's on Main Street. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you can join us here on WREF. The USI men's basketball head coach Stan Gerard is here to talk about the Screaming Eagles. Coach, really appreciate the time. How are we doing?
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, so before we talk about USI basketball and the big games from the weekend, let's talk about the big game from the weekend. What do you think about the Super Bowl? How far did you make it through?
I actually made it all the way
the
through
whole,
that,
why?
The whole game.
Why?
We had to go to, we went to some friend's house, and I couldn't sleep. I wasn't at home, so I just hung out over there. And I wanted to drive two cars, but my wife, it was friends on her side, so I wanted to drive two cars. She wouldn't let me. She knew I was going to try to get out, so I just had to suck it up and made it work. You know, we spent a lot of time sitting around just watching a bad football game. But
yeah.
I'm happy for the Eagles. Cowboys didn't play, so I guess I had to cheer for the Eagles.
then let me ask you this. You made it through the whole game begrudgingly. If it was up to you, if you had that second car, when would you have left?
I probably would have never went because I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I was not in the mood to hang out. You know, just ruin my Sunday from our game on Saturday. And all day long, I was saying I wasn't going. And my wife, she never said one word. And at 5 o'clock, she told me to get dressed. It's time to go. And so I got dressed because it was time to go. But had I had it my way, I would have stayed home. Had I driven two cars, I probably would have left at halftime.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically when I turned it off. I did give the halftime show like 2 minutes before I turned that off. It
wasn't very good.
Okay.
I wasn't
so
a big fan.
If that's the case, then I think we can all say consensus in the room. No one really liked it.
No.
I don't think I was the target demographic.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Beatles guy, Billy Joel, and that's not what it was. So
it wasn't very good. But to make matters worse, I didn't leave until after from the Super Bowl party until after the MVP presentation. It was that bad.
Why would these people want you in their house that long?
They're our friends. I was just a grumpy man on Sunday. That's all. I was grumpy all day, and no one cared about me that day. They wanted to go hang out, so I had to go. So.
Oh man.
Okay. But I made it.
Well, on that note, let's talk about the basketball games from the weekend. Stan Gerard here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show talking USI hoops. And, I guess the weekend kind of started on Thursday against Little Rock, homecoming week, so we'll get into that as well. But the Trojans, they're one of the best teams in the OVC, and they got off to a pretty hot start, never really looked back. What do you take away from that game?
I think the biggest thing for me in going back and watching, and even going into the ball game against Little Rock, was – how athletic they are. They're strong, they're quick, they recover very fast, and they get you out of your comfort zone offensively because of their trapping defensively. But more importantly, when you break the trap, they move as one, and it happens pretty fast. We try to make these guys scramble with passing the basketball, but they're so long and athletic, they recover. Couldn't get an inside presence going too much because they were, again, they pushed us off the block. They were very physical. And there's a noticeable difference, you know, in the physicality of play, you know, with their teams versus ours. And that just kind of, you know, took over us, you know, as the game went along and we couldn't get much going. We never really got settled into a comfort zone offensively to get into a good rhythm on offense. And that's why we struggled.
Was there any reason, granted the scores were kind of similar, but the game was pretty asimilar between the first time you played Little Rock and the second? You guys led in the second half against Little Rock on the road, so you're closer the first time. Is there something that they changed or something that you guys changed that affected that?
Yeah, we didn't make shots. You know, we couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. I think we were in the 20s, I think we were. Yeah, the percentages there, Brett?
You're 18 to 52 on the day.
That's not a good day. You can't win like that at home, you know what I mean? You can't win like that anywhere. But I thought we shot the ball better there at their place. We had some great looks, especially in the first half, from some of our key guys, and shots wasn't falling for us, and they did a great job of making us pay. You know, outside of us, you know, not taking care of the ball very well, they were able to, you know, push the ball in transition and get the ball in the right guys' hands, and we struggled.
You mentioned efficiency. Really, three-point efficiency is the thing that really sticks out. You guys were 5 of 23 as a team, but you take out Jalen Randle, and you were 2 of 17 as a team without Jalen Randle's 3 of 6. So when you break down the three-point offense, which early on in the season was such a big part of your identity, at one point fourth in the nation, how do you diagnose that of how you get those guys – more looks and maybe even better looks?
Well, we got to move the ball. I felt like once we got down a few points, we tried to do it by ourselves. You know, when a team presses and traps the way that Little Rock does, that ball got to be moving. It's got to be more passing and less dribbling, and we try to dribble through the traps, and that was not the game plan. But at the same time, the open looks we did get, we didn't capitalize. A lot of guys didn't shoot the ball well because there were some open looks for us, but we, like I said, we didn't get into a rhythm, and that's what caused the debacle from an offensive standpoint.
You know, we talked about this. Actually, I don't think it was you and me. I think it was me and Kevin on the broadcast on Saturday, but in talking about Jack Mielke, who's obviously a big part of your three-point shooting, your three-point offense, and he was looking at it, and I think Mielke hit two threes, but he said, you know, it was in a break. He goes, "Yeah, we got to get Mielke involved. We got to get Mielke more looks." And I said, "Well, you know what? Don't look at Mielke. Look at the point guards, and he's so point guard dependent." So you look at Mielke in the first game of this weekend, and he's 1 of 8 from 3, 2 of 9 from the field. And in this game, Sam Cody plays and he starts, but plays fewer than 10 minutes. Campion comes off the bench and he plays the bulk of the minutes. But how would you grade Sam Cody? Not just in this game. Well, I should just say not just in this game.
Well, Cody
didn't
play on Saturday. He tweaked his ankle.
This was his only
game. He tweaked his ankle on Thursday.
Yeah,
and did not dress for Saturday's game. So I don't know. The minutes he did play, he was okay. I feel like he could have helped us because we needed a bigger guard in there to pass over defense. And once he went down on the ankle sprain, rather. We had to go with Campion for the most part. I think he played, 30-plus minutes, rather.
I think he played 32 off the bench.
Yeah, 30-plus minutes off the bench. And, you know, Campion struggled to see over the taller guys from an offensive standpoint. We wanted to pass the ball. When we had some success against Little Rock, we started ball screening, and we went to a short roll for our bigs to catch and get rid of the ball. I think there was a – about a 4 or 5 minute stretch where we scored 3 plays in a row, and then we went away from it for some reason. We stopped hitting the guy on the short roll. And I'll never forget in the timeout, we told our guys, like, every time we hit the short roll, the corner guys are open, and we don't pass the short roll. So we have to be better at you know, just sticking to script and understanding the flow of the basketball game. But yeah, I wish we could have got Mielke more looks, but to their credit, they did a good job of staying glued to him once he hit a couple and not gave him much space, didn't give him much space, rather.
Again, here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show, talking about USI's last two games this weekend, Little Rock and Southeast Missouri on homecoming. We're going to take a step aside, break down the SEMO game when we return on WREF. Don't go anywhere.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise. At Taroni's, ain't nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni's, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right, pizza party. Amazing service,
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show here at Tony's on Main Street, talking USI men's hoop at the men's hoops at the USI men's basketball coach himself, Stan Gerard. One of the two games we broke down from this past weekend, Little Rock. The other one was on Saturday, homecoming night against Southeast Missouri. In this game, you guys really had a great chance to win, 79-74, a narrow loss. So before we go, micro parting thoughts on this game.
Which game are you at, man? I'm still a Little Rock, man. I still can't get that in my brain. But SEMO, very efficient ball club. I felt like those guys shared the ball better than anybody we played this year. They have a lot of guys from that team, some of their main guys who was around a year ago, and it showed, you know, with the Martin kid. He was really good for him, and I think Stricker was there a year ago. So they got some guys that are in tune with one another from an offensive standpoint. But they came in on a high note. I forgot how bad they beat Moorhead at Moorhead. They beat
29.
They beat Moorhead at Moorhead by 29 points on Thursday night. So their confidence coming in was off the charts, and we wanted to come in to that ball game. I felt like in both games against SEMO, we played well enough to win. And – you know, it boiled down, in my opinion, to down the stretch making the necessary plays to win the ball game. You know, what better half than you can ask for? You know, go in halftime with 1 point lead, and down the stretch in the last 4 or 5 minutes, I think there was 24 lead changes, eight ties throughout the game. So it was close throughout the game, but yeah. You know, down the stretch, when it came down to making great plays, you know, we didn't make any plays down the stretch. We gave up a couple of errors in the defensive end where we didn't switch, we didn't tag the roller. And then we go down offense and have empty possessions. You know, we turned it over, missed shots, but just not on the level as SEMO was down the stretch, and that's why they won the ballgame.
Let's talk about the first half and into halftime before we get into the last few plays of the game, and certainly a lot to break down there. But you mentioned, you played a great first half, and you did. You had the lead at halftime. But then again, all but three of your points coming from the big three, and Devontae Harris, Jalen Randle, Stephen Aloney. Now, it's okay for the bulk of the points to come from your three best players. That's expected.
Yeah.
But how much of a concern in real time was that Milky had hit a three, and that was it? Outside of that, it was Jalen, Devontae, and Stephen.
Well, we need some other guys to step up. Looking at the numbers here, Braxton goes 1 of 6. Steven came off the bench, of course, due to academic suspension. He still played 38 plus minutes, but he came off the bench and gave us some numbers. Josiah only takes one shot, but we need someone else, a couple of the guys rather, to you know, take a load off those three guys who's doing the bulk of the scoring. You know, Jack Milky goes, 2 of 7, 6 points and 7 rebounds. Got some good looks, you know. A lot of those, as we go back and watch as a coaching staff, he's standing upright on the shot too much. He's got to get back, you know, down low and rise up into his shot. But we do need some other guys to step up in that area because, you know, teams are figuring out. It's three guys right now that's been doing the bulk of the scoring. Shut those guys down, the team goes.
And we'll get into supplemental scoring later on in the show, but in breaking down the SEMO game, there are a couple of plays that stick out. To me, the Braxton Jones layup. I mean, that's something that a lot of people, especially Braxton, can be thinking about for a while. You know, he misses a three in the corner, got his own offensive rebound, kind of had a runway to the rim, misses the layup. You take him out immediately after. You told me after the game that it wasn't because he missed the shot that you took him out. But he comes out, and I asked you on game day, I'll ask you again, your message to him when he was on the sideline just kind of fell into your arms, and if you could share what that moment was like.
Well, he was a bit emotional because he missed a shot. And I think, you know, I know from going back and watching it again, he was trying to draw the foul instead of, you know, standing the shot. You know, kick his legs out because he thought the kid was going to run past him and foul and get his free throws. But he has to stay confident in what he's known to do, and that's make shots. He got his own rebound and drove and missed the layup, and that just kind of shattered him a little bit, and rightfully so. That means he cares. My message to him was, that's not the reason we lost the ball game. You know, that's just one play. There's a number of things that happened throughout the game that has us in a situation. And I told him I would trust him to take that shot 100 times if he's taking that shot. You know, and that's the confidence I have in Braxton. When I took him out, I had to explain to him I wasn't taking him out because he missed a shot. I took him out because we were out of timeouts. And Jack Campion, I sent him to the ball game with a play to deliver, you know, for the guys to run. And then, as you notice, I put him back in the ball game. So I wanted to make sure I explained that to him because that can take his confidence away as well. And he understood that once we got him back in after the dead ball, he was okay. But, you know, just an emotional moment that we shared together. And, you know, we try to live and learn from that ball game and that shot he took.
Obviously, the good in this game is Jalen, Damani, and Steven, but especially – Jalen and Damani both go for more than 20 points. I mean, when they are playing that way, it really feels like you guys are going to be a tough team to beat regardless of who you're playing in the OVC. Case in point, narrow loss against one of the best teams in the league. And sure, you need a little bit more supplemental scoring. We'll talk about that later. But what makes those guys go when they're going like that?
Well, they're just, we call them ballers. You know, they can just make plays. You know, we call things for them to, you know, to try to get to their sweet spots, and they understand, and we understand rather where they're good at and what areas, and we try to get them to those spots where they can score the basketball. We got to get these guys now to spread the wealth a little bit more, you know, trusting your teammates more, and I think if we do that, it's going to open up the floodgates for those guys to score the ball even more. But it's too hard for us to score. You know, we played Little Rock, you know, we scored, but it was hard. They made us earn it, you know. If we can just consistently continue to or get back to the way we were back in November when we were fourth in the country in three-point percentage, the ball moved. We made the extra passes. We didn't try to score too quick. I was sharing this with a teammate the other day. Watching our first game against SEMO, I went back and I charted the possessions when we had the basketball, and we was averaging 1.6 passes per possession, and that's too easy to guard. You know, I got on our guys about that, about not sharing the basketball, and we had 11 assists in this game. I will say we had 7 turnovers at halftime. We only had 2 the second half, so that was encouraging to see. But we have to trust our guys, trust our teammates, the guys who need to be a part of the offense, so that way it can take a bit of the scoring load off those three guys we just talked about.
You know, and looking at the SEMO box score, I think any casual fan or certainly a religious fan looking at it, they see Jalen and they see Damani and they see Steven play well. And then they see at the bottom of it Luther Smith checking into the game.
It wasn't
garbage time. There was really no such thing as garbage time in this game. He comes in for only 2 minutes, granted. I was not surprised. You guys told me, hey, expect a little bit of Luther going into this game. What is his role on this team going forward?
Well, with Cody being out, we needed another guy to step into that role. And I think we talked about Jared Washington a bit. You know, it's kind of not where we need him to be right now. Hopefully he can get back to that. We bought Luther in to try to, you know, open it up a little bit because he can shoot the ball. He's probably one of our best shooters on the team, just haven't had much playing time. And I felt like the past 2-3 weeks, he's had a pretty good practice in terms of just showing that he's getting better and can give us a few minutes. I wanted to experiment with him early in the game to kind of see where he was, and we're going to try to add to that in our next couple of games. You know, I didn't want to just throw him out there for 25, 30 minutes right away. Just want to see where he was. I know 2 minutes is not a lot, but we saw something in that 2 minutes that we think could help us out. You know, he got the ball on the left wing, drove it up the court, didn't turn it over, got a quick reversal, and he was always ready to shoot. The thing about Luther, he's a threat on offense because he can stretch the floor for us. And hopefully, you know, this week we can get him more reps on that white team, the white jerseys rather. Get him on that team to, you know, just get him a little bit more comfortable with those guys and those guys more comfortable with him.
All right. Well, that's an intriguing wrinkle because we really haven't seen Luther play too much. He played 2 minutes at the end of the Little Rock game when you emptied the bench, and outside of that, his last game prior to Saturday.
Right. We're searching right now, man. We're struggling, man. We're searching. We look for someone to come in and give us a spark, you know. Can you play for us, man? If you can help us, we'll take you too. But we need a spark, man.
Power forward.
We need a spark. So we're just trying to, you know, keep a close eye on these guys and see who we think can give us another spark off the bench, especially with the absence of Sam Cody.
All right, so let's dive deep into the rotation and supplemental scoring on the other side. You're listening to the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF.
Benny and the Main Street Boys making noise. At Taroni, nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni, and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza in
years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction, as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
At Penn Station, it's all about good taste. And during this month of February, Penn Station is offering their fresh grilled chicken parmesan sandwich as their monthly special. Enjoy a full meal with the delicious grilled chicken sprinkled in parmesan, fresh cut fries, and a delicious fresh squeezed lemonade, all for the low price of just $10.99. At Penn Station, it's all about the good taste. Penn Station East Coast Subs is a proud sponsor of USI Basketball, and they're conveniently located in Evansville, Newburgh, Henderson, and in Owensboro.
Back here on WREF, the Stan Gerard Radio Show. Talking USI men's hoops with the head coach himself at Taroni's on Main Street. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on WREF. All right, so, you know, Coach, we were kind of dancing around this before the break, but let's really go in-depth on the supplemental scoring. You've been saying, hey, we need someone to step up. We need maybe more than one person to step up with Damani and Jalen and Steven scoring basically at will. At least that was the case on Saturday. So you experimented with Luther. We've seen Braxton in there. But who do you think that guy is? Who is going to step up in the last six games as you guys make this OVC tournament push?
Well, we need Jack Campion to, you know, get us around the 10-point ballpark. You know, right now he's at four and a half points a game. You know, he's playing, what, he played 31 minutes the other day. We need 10 points at least out of Jack along with his assists. We need Milky to increase his numbers as well. I think he's a six-point-per-game scorer. I think if those two guys can step up and help these other guys out, it'll help us out tremendously. Sam Cody's a good 8-10-point guy. You know, so we just got to get these guys, they have to take it upon themselves to, you know, be a little more aggressive, you know. And we're not playing transition offense is not where it was. We scored zero fast break points the other day. to their 13. You know, so when we play in faster and in transition, that helps other guys who struggle a little bit to score, you know, get some good looks. And we got to get back to playing that way.
We've seen Jack play as a scorer more than or as much as he has been as a facilitator. We've seen that before. It's in him. He had 13 points. It was, I think, two or three games ago. I think it was three games ago. Against Tennessee Tech, actually off the bench in that game. So we've seen it. It's in him. But what does he have to do to consistently get to that 10-point-per-game threshold? What does he have to change?
Take more than two shots a game. I think he just took two a couple nights ago. But honestly, I think with Jack, he's got a – Doug is begging him to come in and get extra shots up. And he does, you know, but not enough. You know, I call Jack, I tell him all the time, he's a casual shooter, you know. And that's no knock, but it's the truth. You know, we look at him shoot in practice sometime in our drills, and he'll knock down two at game speed, then he'll get back to his casual self. But he's got to get back to being a more aggressive shooter, but also being more in attack mode offensively. You know, he's very passive. I know he's the point guard, but, you know, point guards can score the basketball. And I think he's got to pick and choose his spots, you know, especially when guys are playing well, to get his numbers as well. Because I think, you know, when Jack plays well, we usually win, and we need him to play well.
That's ironic about Jack as a shooter is that when he takes shots, I think he's around 35% on the year from beyond the arc, and he just doesn't take all that many, so the sample size is pretty low.
Yeah.
So outside of asking, hey, get in the lab with Doug, who was a great shooter back in the day for SIU, what can you do as a coach to get him more of an attacking mindset?
Well, we have to keep telling him to attack. You know, it's we're never telling that young man not to shoot the basketball. You know, we run the ball screen continuity offense where he has opportunity to get to. He's a great mid-range shooter.
Oh, yeah.
I think
outside of Damani, he might be the second best.
I agree. And a lot of our offense, you know, a lot of our plays, rather, are predicated around the mid-range game. And he doesn't do as good a job as he did a year ago of getting to his spots. You know, when he comes off that screen, he's very passive, you know. So we got to get him back to, you know, getting to his spot. He's really good coming off the on the right side, dribbling left-hand pull-up. You know, if you remember the game against Bellamy, on the right side, but his mid-range jump shot is bread and butter. And I think if he can start there and then work his way out to threes, he'd be okay. But we got to get him back to maybe forcing him to take shots or take him out if he doesn't shoot the basketball. But he's always got to be a threat, you know. And now he's too passive. We got to get him back to being a threat on offense.
You know what's funny is in talking about other scorers, other guys that can help out Jalen, Damani, and Steven in the scoring department, you went to Jack Campion, who is – a de facto starter. I say a de facto starter because he's kind of a co-starter with Sam Cody.
Right.
So you did not necessarily default to a guy like Braxton, who we've seen score in bulk, but it hasn't happened over the last few games, or a guy like Luther, who you dipped your toes with. So with Braxton, I'll ask you for him to get more consistently in the 8 to 10 point range down the stretch in the season. What does he have to do? What does he have to change?
I just think confidence in his shot. You know, like I said a second ago, staying in his shot versus trying to draw the foul. More aggressive in terms of, you know, coming off the ball screen, or even, you know, when he catches on the perimeter. You know, a lot of teams right now, especially the taller players, are running him off the three-point line. He's a really good mid-range shooter off as well, off the bounce. And he's got to get back to that, you know. So we're going to keep, you know, pushing these guys in the right direction to take shots, you know, to take a little off those other guys. But I think right now it's mind over matter with those guys. They're overthinking it, you know. And you know, we always say less is more. You know, Jack Campion and Braxton, they have two moves. Braxton likes the step back jump shot, you know. I'm sorry, the between cross jab step back.
Yeah.
And
Harden,
yeah,
you know, half extra step.
And Campion just likes the step back, you know. I don't think, at least for me, I'm old school. We don't need that. We just need you to get your spot and shoot the basketball. A lot of times when they have a clear path to the basket or to their spot, they got to throw a little extra sauce in there, I call it, to make it look better versus just scoring a basketball.
What's the difference in what you expect or hope to get out of Luther as you look to play him a little bit more down the stretch, and say what Braxton gives you, because they're both scorers, they're both shooters, so what's the difference there?
Well, first of all, Luther didn't take Braxton's minutes. It was just in that particular case, like I said, I wanted to get Luther a chance. Braxton had been in, I think I took him out, and he had given up some plays defensively. I think I counted 6 or 8 points. And so I needed someone who was going to guard a little bit harder. So we took him out. We said that you have to guard better. That was the first half. And then second half, I think it was Damani who had given up some points. Same scenario. Took him out and put someone in. Like, I think Damani had given up 10 points in a row. So it's just flow of the basketball game where if you're not guarding, because we got to get some stops to have a chance to win. And in that case, it was Luther because Braxton wasn't guarding. And Luther was guarding very well. And then the flip script, second half, it was Damani. I think we put Josiah in for Damani for a couple minutes. So, and that could be fatigue, you know. I think in that spell in the first half, Braxton was in for a good, you know, 6-7 minutes in a row, and Simo went at him every time. They forced a switch, and they tried to attack him off the bounce.
Again, we're here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show talking about those supplemental scores, but there's a lot else to talk about here on WREM, so we'll take a step aside, but don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Stan Gerard Radio Show live from Taroni's on Main Street.
Benny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Taroni. Nothing but a pizza party at Taroni. And the Main Street Boys are calling.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show at Taroni's on Main Street. I'm Brian Klein. Happy you could join us here on WREF. USI Men's Basketball Head Coach Stan Gerard is here. And, you know, we're talking about the games from homecoming weekend, but let's talk about homecoming weekend and the Hall of Fame ceremony. You know, it's fun to get your perspective on the Hall of Fame because you are, I believe, right, the first class inductee. So, and rightfully so. So you see some other folks go in from other sports and soccer and cross country was represented. But I'd imagine that Rodney Watson getting inducted was pretty special for you to see. So what was that like for you?
Well deserved, man. He earned it and he deserved it, man. It was great, man, to be a part of Hall of Fame weekend and to see him go in, man. I told him before, I said, that means you're getting a little bit older. Because you're in the Hall of Fame, but congratulations to Rodney on a heck of a coaching career here and earning his stripes in the Hall of Fame.
obviously, you have a couple of different angles to come at it because, on the one hand, you're an alum of the program that he coached. On the other hand, you are a, I guess you could say, former enemy of his because you coached against him, right, in the GLVC.
I wouldn't call it an enemy.
Okay, adversary.
There you go.
Former adversary of his. And then also you are, he is your predecessor on the job.
Right.
So from that regard, I'll go from the second angle of when you coached against him. And as he's earning his stripes towards all-time winningest coach in program history and eventually Hall of Famer, of course, you stood in the way of a few of those wins. So what are your greatest memories of coaching against Rodney Watson?
When Rodney was when his job became available, Rodney worked for a good friend of mine, Chris Lowry at SIU Carbondale. And When it came open, that's the first person I thought about that can come in and do what Rodney did. So I put the call in down here to John Mark, and I recommended Rodney for the job as well. And then I called Chris and Chris Lowry, who's now at Northwestern assistant coach. I asked him to talk to Rodney and see if he'd consider. And I remember as the job went along, Rodney and I spent a couple minutes on the phone just talking about the expectations here, how it was when I was here, and he got my vote, you know, because I've been knowing Rodney a long time, and he did a heck of a job as an assistant at Carbondale, and it was just his time to step into a different role, and coaching against him was always challenging. He had some great teams, some great players, but more importantly, he did it the right way. You know, he's just a class act, as you heard him in his acceptance speech. At the Hall of Fame, where he paid homage to Coach Hurtis, Coach Pearl, myself, teams that were here before him. And, you know, I just have the utmost respect for Rodney, the job he's done here. They always say that when you take over a job, to leave it in a better place than what you got it, and he did that. And he's a tough act to follow, you know, so I'm walking in his shadow every single day. But you know, the thing about him, man, is he comes to practice sometimes, and we catch him in the hallway in the tunnel. He never tries to get in your way. He just wanted to be around a little bit and talk a little basketball. And I wish he came around more. And I'm going to tell him that tomorrow when I talk to him. He needs to come around more because, you know, anything he says or does, we can use his leadership on those things. So, but, just, like, again, class act, he and his family, class act. And again, I've been knowing Rodney for a long time now.
You ever see him up in the rafters during games?
Yeah,
see,
I see him up there.
For whatever reason, I've never found him. It's like Waldo. Like, I'm not always looking, but from time to time, I'll talk to him, and then I always make a note, okay, next game, I'm going to find him, you know?
No, I misunderstood. I always see him from my office when he's outside cut the grass. I never see him. I don't know where he sits.
No, me neither.
I don't know.
I've never seen him up there, but I know he goes to a lot of the games, when he's not broadcasting for SIU, but I'm still looking for him. He's out there.
Yeah, he's out there somewhere. You just don't know where.
So I've never seen him cut the grass. Is it like a Forrest Gump situation?
No, he's
like
moving
at the end
now.
Of the movie?
No, he has a rider, man. He's moving pretty fast.
But so did Forrest Gump.
No, but Rodney's moving. He's a one-man show, as you heard him say that the other night. He doesn't have a staff. It's a one-man show. And he looks good, man. He's when I never forget, when we was at Carbondale, and I was looking for Rodney when we got there before the game, and there was this guy with his back to me, and I'm like, that looks like Rodney, but that's not Rodney. Man, he lost a lot of weight. And he talked about his wife, and she changed his eating habits. I said, my wife, I hope she doesn't do that to me. But he looks good, man, and he's doing a good job in what he does.
So he's doing a great job in what he does. And his Hall of Fame speech was really fun to listen to. It was longer than any other one.
He extended the minutes.
Yes.
You know, I think when Archuleta was up there, he was in and out. As well as the young lady who I think soccer team and those guys. But like you said, you never get a retired coach in a broadcaster microphone because he's not going to sit down. And so, but you know what? I enjoyed every second of what he said because it was all great content.
It was all
so
gold.
I enjoyed it.
It was pretty cool for me to meet Chris Carr. I'm a New Jersey Nets fan. And so to see Chris Carr, how do you even know Chris Carr? I saw you guys talking at the Hall of Fame thing.
Well, when I played my junior college ball at John A., we lived on the campus of SIU Carbondale where Rodney coached at. And Chris Carr was on Rodney's team, and we would always get together Saturday mornings and go to the rec and play basketball. And Chris and I, we became really close. I have a really good friend named Ralph Hewley, was also a player at SIU Carbondale as a walk-on, who's now a dentist up in Chicago, and Tyrone Bell as well. They all played for Rodney. Anyway, I used to hang out with Ralph and somehow got into the circle with those guys at Carbondale back in 1993. Yeah. And Chris and I, we go back to way back then. And I remember before Chris made it to the NBA, he had I forgot what kind of car it was, but I know the right door didn't open. So when he picked us up to go hang out and go play basketball, we got to get in from the driver's side to get to the passenger seat. And I never forget when he got to the NBA, I said, what'd you do with that old car, man? I bet you don't have that anymore. So we always tell those stories. But Chris, you know, I don't know if you remember this, in 1997, he was a runner-up in a dunk contest behind Kobe Bryant. Yeah. And to see him at that event the other day, that just speaks volumes of Rodney Watson and the relationship, you know, part of that, of coaching side that Chris came. I think Chris lives in Springfield, Missouri now.
Well, he's coaching at Drury, right?
Yeah, he was, not anymore.
Okay.
He took a year off, I think, but he came back. No, maybe he's on the girls' side now. I don't know. But
I thought he's on the girls'
side. He was at one point.
You would know better than me, but
I think he is. But he came back from Springfield, Missouri to hear Rodney, you know, to see Rodney going to the Hall of Fame. So that speaks volumes of, again, the relationship, the player-coach relationship that Rodney has with his guys.
What was it like seeing Arch again?
Oh, man. We talked quite a bit, man, but to see him, man, it was fun. Archuleta. And was it his 14 team?
2014.
2014 team was in Duncan as well. And it looked like they had a good time before they came to the event. But it's always great to see Tracy Archuleta because he's just a fun guy to be around. And congratulations to every inductee. I didn't get close to everybody, but the ones I got close to, I had a chance to say a few words. But congratulations to all the inductees on Friday night. That was a pretty cool event.
Well, yeah, because it was the 2014.
Oh, Dan Agurski. Forgot about
and
Dan.
Dan
got inducted.
But a notable absence from the ceremony. So
I texted him. I took a picture of the screen. I texted him and told him congratulations. Really happy for him. And so I did text him. So he responded.
He responded to you. He budged the time for a response.
Yep.
That's
got
to feel
right, it was
good.
Right away. It was right
oh,
away.
Right away.
That's my guy, man. Dan's my guy.
That's not bad.
Dan's
That's not
guy.
Bad. Yeah, but for the 2014 National Championship baseball team to go in, I don't think that was a surprise. It's only a matter of time, right, for them. You're a national champion. You go into the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
But it was pretty funny because it was Arch sitting down at the on the chair. They had him, all the Hall of Fame inductees. So he sat down, and then he had all the players who came behind him. And it was like... It was like a fraternity. It was like a lot of frat bros behind him. So that was pretty cool to see. What was it? What was campus like? I mean, I wasn't here. I guess you weren't here either for 2014. I mean, you guys, I got to ask you guys what campus was like 2014.
No, they wouldn't know
what that rump is like.
I don't know. Yeah. I know the baseball team. They mentioned Franklin Street. If you remember, they said that they mentioned Franklin Street was their hangout spot.
Was that your hangout spot?
No, when I was here. I don't even know. I think I hung out more on campus with my teammates. We hung out on campus more than running the streets. So, and I was a homebody. I didn't go out. I went out sometime, but I was more of a homebody. I was.
I can't decide if I want to believe you in that regard.
That's the truth, man. That's the truth.
Oh, man. It's the Stan Gerard Radio Show. Is he lying? I don't know. I mean, we'll never know. We're talking about.
I just told you.
We're talking USI men's basketball here, and certainly homecoming and the Hall of Fame ceremony, and that's all well and good. Anyone else? As far as alums that came back to campus for homecoming that you got to see?
I don't know. I didn't see very many. You know, after the game was over with, man, I was sobbing, so I didn't get to get back out and talk to very many people. But I'll apologize to them later, but I'm a sore loser, man. I'm not good company after a game, especially when you lose one, you know, so.
Well,
or a few.
No one is.
Yeah, or a few.
No one is. Anyway, we'll take a step aside. You're listening to the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF.
Benny and the Main Street Boys make a noise. At Taroni, nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni, and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right. Benny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party at Taroni's.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. And more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
For 20 years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction, as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
And we're back on WREF, the Stan Gerard Radio Show, talking USI men's basketball with the head coach himself. I'm Brad Klein at Taroni's on Main Street. A couple of games to preview here as we look forward to next weekend. And on Thursday, it's Western Illinois, the second time you guys see them in glorious tropical Macomb, Illinois. So you get to go back there. That's
the bus leaves at 9 o'clock on Wednesday, just so you know.
Does it? Why 9? Why?
It's like a six-hour drive.
Is it really that far?
It's going to be a long way, man.
Oh. Yeah. Yay. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, I don't know what else to say. As we look at Western Illinois, and after a six-hour drive, and you guys put the bus in park and you play Western Illinois on Thursday. Now, granted, they are in last place in the OVC, but before we break them down, last place in the OVC is a great opportunity for you guys to get a win, to pad the resume and climb up the OVC ladder. So how do you guys, before we break down the games, Lindenwood and Western Illinois, how do you guys approach this weekend mentally? What's the approach?
Well, like I tell them every game, it's a must win if you want to play at home in a few weeks in the conference tournament. These guys gave us some problems in game one. Yeah. You know, and we have to go back to the drawing board and try to, you know, fix some of the issues. You know, when you're playing, you know, in their case, at home, last place, nothing to lose, everything to gain, to kind of ruin our chances of getting to where we want to go. Am I seeing a little streak they have going on? They're going to play free. But we have to go in and get settled in pretty early on the defensive side of the basketball. And keep these guys out of the paint. Watching these guys again from our first game, we struggled. We struggled with their transition. We struggled with these guys once they got it going. And we can't allow these guys to get confidence early. That's going to be the biggest key, is us having confidence, but also imposing our will defensively to get us in a good rhythm on offense.
Yeah, the streak you're talking about, by the way, 10 consecutive losses for Western Illinois. Of course, you guys are one of them in a 78-66 win in the middle of January. Outside of the actual X's and O's of this game, it's also going to be the Keyron Powell reunion game, because we didn't get to see him when he
Is he back playing?
I mean, he played a few minutes a couple days ago, so he's still on the team. He's still playing. So you guys are going to see him. What's that going to be like pregame? Are you going to be able to embrace and to meet up pregame, postgame, whatever that is? How is that going
to? I'll say hi to him before the game, and it's business, man. I don't want to go out and make friends. I want to go out and win a ball game. We can be friends after, but you know, my mindset is try to go in and win the basketball game. I wish him well in every game except on Thursday night. Yeah. You know, I don't know how much he's playing right now, but. He didn't make the trip here. He got suspended, I think he was. Didn't make the trip, so we'll get to see him. I'm sure he still talks to a couple of guys on the team from a year ago, Mervis and Ryan Hall and Campy. They all talked to him. So, but it's a business trip, and we got to go with that mindset, because this is a trap game. With these guys losing 10, it's a situation where they have nothing to lose, everything to gain. And we have to go in and have the right mindset. And it's going to, you know, practice today was very hard and serious. It's going to be the same thing tomorrow. We're not going to go in here thinking because of their losing streak, we're going to go in and win. We got to go out and earn and take the ball game from them.
You know, what's funny is, and obviously Western Illinois right now last place in the OVC. Outside of one remaining game against SIUE, every game that you guys play is against the bottom half of the OVC. So a winnable schedule, if you will. So yeah. That's something that I would definitely say is an encouraging thing as far as ability and likelihood of making the OVC tournament, which is certainly a goal of yours. And Western Illinois is the next game up. And then the other game is Lindenwood on Saturday. And that's a really, really good team, a team that's taken a massive step up from last year, and a team that right now holds one of those coveted last few spots in the OVC tournament. So how do you feel about the Lions on Saturday?
Well, I haven't looked far beyond past Western, but I know I'm a fan of basketball, so I do watch the scores. I do watch other teams play in Lindenwood. Is playing a lot better than what they were a few weeks ago. They beat, I don't have a scouting report. They beat someone.
They beat SIUE, if that's what you're talking about.
SIUE. And they just an athletic team. Their big kid's playing better. Reggie Bass is playing better. And they're at home. You know, they're a tough team to play at home. And I'm looking forward to the challenge of both games this week.
And again,
that game's at 2:00, by the way.
Yeah,
as well,
they changed the time because of the women going on ESPNU, which is a really exciting thing for them.
That's cool for the ladies.
Yeah. How locked in, by the way, are you on the women's team? You
know, they're fun to watch. Oh my gosh, I love watching the ladies play, man. They are fun to watch, and the way they, I always have to hear them. I can always, when I send my team out of the locker room on game day, and their locker room's right next to ours, I can always tell who won the game because. The screaming ladies walking down the hallway, and it's just funny to hear sometimes. And every once in a while, I'll embarrass them, poke my head out because they say some funny stuff. But I'm locked into what they're doing. Rick and I, man, we go way, way back. Randa and I were in the same class at USI, so I'm a big fan of what they're doing.
You poking your head out, you getting a glimpse of the post-game situation on Thursday when Rick was unhappy?
I did not. I just know I was in the locker room, and that game clock was on 42.5 forever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck happened? So we go out, guys go out, and I'm pacing the hallway after a while, and here comes Rick, and he vented to me about
did
he? But I'm like, I got a game in 10 minutes. I'm not really locked into what you're saying. But he poured out to me his frustration. Then the next day we talked about it. But I get it. You know, I get it. You know, we deal with some of the same stuff. But that was a pretty bad. I didn't see it, but from what I heard, bad situation.
I'll tell you what, there was a moment in that game. You said that the clock was stuck on 42.5 seconds and whatnot. I thought that you were going to see Rick in the hallway well before the 42.5 ended.
Well, is this show tomorrow?
No, we're not doing a sign show tomorrow, no.
He did, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, he did tell me he did everything he could do to get ejected, and they wouldn't kick him out. And sometimes, I remember when I was at
Why do coaches want to get ejected?
You know, sometimes it's just better to just not even be there for it. I remember at Indiana State a year ago, we were getting beat pretty bad, and I let the referee, his name is Chris, I let him have it, and I'll never forget, and I just kept going. And he looked back like he was going to team. I said, please team me up and eject me. He ran down the court and came back. He's like, no, you know what, coach? I'm not going to do that because you want to leave. I'm going to make you watch this crap, you know. So,
well,
but, sometimes it just gets to that point where you're just so frustrated with your team, the officials, and how you're playing. You want out sometime. And you know, for me, I don't want to deal with the repercussions when I get home of getting ejected, you know, and John Mark Hall as well. So I walk a line.
Well, what does John Mark say about it? If you were?
I haven't got ejected, so I don't know. I don't want to know.
Maybe it wouldn't be that bad.
Nah, I don't want to know. So I'll just walk the line and stop
when
I get to
that
line.
When you said repercussions when I come home, I thought you were talking about the wife.
That her too. Yeah, both.
Because, I mean, I don't know if this is striking a nerve or me doing my journalistic responsibility, but I would be remiss if I didn't point out that you did get a technical foul in the comb last year.
Did I?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now you know.
Okay. Well, I won't get one this year.
Well, yeah. That's what you said last year.
I won't get one. I have one technical all year this year. Tennessee State.
Tennessee.
Double tech against both head coaches.
Yeah, that's right. That was
and I got a, warning the other day.
I remember that. Yeah, that was that. Which game was that? That was the Thursday.
That was Saturday. That was Saturday. Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right. I'm back in my best behavior. Man.
Oh man, I mean that, but that's not easy. When you got the warning, were you expecting a full blown technical?
No, I didn't expect a warning because I was complaining because we had the basketball and they stopped to give him a warning while we were going on offense. And my question was, how do you stop our offense without giving him a technical foul if he was? I think they said he's out of the coaching box.
Yeah.
So as I'm approaching the,
I think I remember this now. Yeah, I think you were asking. For a technical
as I'm approaching it, my thing is, if you're stopping our offense, we wasn't on fast break. We were still coming up to call a play. But as we're going up, if you stop the game, that should be a technical foul if he's out of the box. And as I'm walking, I did cross the line. I did go out pretty far. So he just shut me up pretty quick and gave me a warning. So I just turned around and I'm like, okay, I'm done. So, yeah.
I feel like I tease Sprue and Aldi about this. I feel like Doug, it's past his time to do this, but I always tease them about them having to be, at some point, the get-back coach, the coach that holds the coach back.
I wish they did that more.
Yeah.
Hold me back. Yeah, I wish they did that more. But my wife thinks I'm going to have a heart attack, but I need to relax a little bit and just focus on my guys and not the way the game is called. But some of the stuff that's going on out there is frustrating as I don't know what. So,
well, if it makes you feel any better, the folks in person and listening at home, they're equally as frustrated. but you are the man of the people when you go out and speak your mind about it.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's go back to the Western Illinois game on Thursday. From an X's and O's standpoint, they've got a couple of guys. Ryan Myers is a guy that really sticks out to me. I remember him from the first game of the year and last year, too. But what do you have to do to stop their guards? Because when their guards get hot,
oh my gosh, they're hard because they can shoot the ball from deep range. But they also, once they get it going, they're hard to stop because you don't know what they're going to do. Myers, a year ago, I forgot what his point total was, but he got it going from three, and then once and he was shooting beyond the three-point line. But once we got out, he was able to drive by us and really make some plays. But we have to do a good job of not allowing these guys to get into a rhythm early. Defense on the road has got to be great because they are at home and they're shooting on their home courts. So it's going to be a defend by committee. We can't allow these guys to, again, get comfortable, get into a rhythm. See a couple grow in early. We got to be on our P's and Q's. And the scout's pretty simple. They don't run too many things offensively. They're more of a one-on-one type team that can break you down off the bounce, and we struggle with teams like that versus a team that's running a lot of things. But, you know, one-on-one defense is going to be the biggest key on Thursday night.
Thursday, the pregame starts at 7 o'clock. The tip-off at 7:30 on the road against Western Illinois. On Saturday, again, it is a 2 o'clock start to the game and a 1:30 start to the Franklin Lanes Master Tire pregame show on WREF, with the women's game getting flexed up to an 11 a.m. start with the ESPNU edition.
Yes.
So looking forward to catching that on national television. All right, this has been the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF at Taroni's on Main Street. Coach, appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, and again, this has been the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF. Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to Stan Gerard on Basketball on WREF 97.7 FM, ESPN Radio, and online at listtotheref.com. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Taroni's, Allstate Office City, by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agent, and by Fulton Interior Systems. Stan Gerard on Basketball was also brought to you this season by First Federal Savings Bank, Hoosier Home Improvement, and by Penn Station East Coast Subs. Stan Gerard on Basketball has been another sports presentation of Evansville Sports Programming Incorporated, NWREF 97.7 FM, ESPN Radio.